Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm Dr. Peter Zafiridis, and this is the Healthy Mind Radio Show. Here, we talk about our emotional health and well-being, about living the most authentic life we possibly can, the one we truly deserve. So take notice, our true strength and action are on the march, while our fears and self-doubt are on the run. Never doubt how truly powerful you are. Let's learn together, right here on The Healthy Mind. Because together, well, together, we can do so much. Welcome, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Thank you so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. I really do appreciate it. Well, today on the podcast, it's going to be a little bit different of a podcast. Certainly the events from last week, the mass shooting, the terrible, terrible shooting in Newtown, Connecticut, really has affected all of us. I think you can't be a feeling, caring human being without this not affecting you in some way, especially those of us who are parents and parents of young children. I want to take some time to talk about the events that have transpired on Friday and over the weekend, but this isn't going to be a podcast that tries to explain from a psychological perspective exactly what was going on as if I have the answers. But my podcast today isn't going to try and answer all of these questions, the psychology of the shooter, why this happened, how it could have happened, or am I going to try and place any blame here on who is responsible for this? The media, the video games, the news, the guns. That type of editorializing or speculation isn't really what I hope the healthy mind to be. It is not within my hope for the healthy mind that is what I do here. But I do want to talk about it. And honestly, part of this is kind of selfish, self-serving on my part. It'll help me to talk about it. But also, we'll see if there are any patterns here, anything that we can see from a psychological perspective. I want to talk about why this terrifies us, why something like what happened in Newtown is so threatening to us psychologically, and how our emotions can really dominate us and at times not allow us to move past the moment. And really, what I want to do by the end of this podcast is really talk about the amazing, unbelievable strength that we have to take from, oh my goodness, Mr. Robbie Parker, who talked to the press regarding his daughter Emily, who was one of the victims in that massacre. Mr. Parker showed a sign of courage and humanity that, oh my goodness, I don't think in my life that I have seen in that degree. But first, everyone is asking why. Everywhere you look in the media, how can a human being go into a school and slaughter children? Children, 6 years of age and older, but not much older. How and why does this happen? And while I understand, I totally understand because I feel it myself in trying to make sense of this, I really think the question has to be for all of us, how do we deal with this if there is no why? If there is no why, if there isn't a sense of understanding why this individual did what he did. Because we have faced this before, and we faced it in our local community a couple of years ago, nowhere near the level of murder and death as we saw in Connecticut this past week. It was a local murder-suicide here of a family. And the one thing that I had talked about quite a bit at that time was, what if we don't have the answer to why? And is this part of the reason that it keeps us so focused on this story, that we want to learn more, that we want to in some way be able to make sense of this? But I ask you again, not to make this an exercise in frustration, but what if there is no why? And really, is there any kind of explanation that would give us solace? Really? And I think the answer is no. And I think the answer is no. No, I don't think there is. Something that would make sense, that would be so clear that we could then begin to predict with accuracy how and why this happens, I don't think it exists. And that's part of it, the randomness and the uncertainty of it. And yet, we're meaning-seeking creatures, desperately trying to make sense of everything around us. And that is pulling at us, that force, that emotion, at the same time, too, when we see something as senseless and horrific as this. I think the reason that this tragedy at Newtown is so, so very hard for all of us is it is so far away from our sense of what we could even imagine as an atrocity that is forced down our throats to reconcile. I mean, we have to sit there and think about this and picture that scene. And it is so, so terrible that our mind at times won't even allow us to go there and even picture what that scene must have been like. I know that happened to me. I would get a block. I couldn't even imagine or make a picture when I was hearing the news. I mean, I have kids that aren't much younger than the kids that got killed there. And at times, it was just an impossible place for me to go in my mind to even picture it. To even picture it. You know that if you've been listening for a while, my area of orientation in psychiatry is in existential psychotherapy. And as I thought about all of this, I think the reason that it is so very painful is that, my goodness, schools, children, especially children of that age, they're supposed to be safe. I mean, we know that bad things happen to children, but within a school where we assume that it is safe, where we voluntarily and willingly take our children in trusting that it will be a safe place. And keep in mind that even though this tragedy happened in a school, schools today, this moment, are still one of the safest places for our children to be. This is where our emotions can cloud that. It's just that it takes away, it violates, it destroys an image of what we thought was safe, and that is a very uncomfortable place for us as human beings to be. We form our beliefs, we form those ideas and feelings and principles, and we take actions to make sure that we and those that we care for are safe. And we believe that the things that we do will keep us safe. And for the most part, we make the right choices. And there is some level that we can keep ourselves safe. But it is times like this when we don't understand why this happens that it leaves us vulnerable. It leaves us exposed. And it is a very uncomfortable place to be. And it can be laden with anxiety. It can be laden with fear and sadness and depression. And it's probably part of the reason that we are so glued to the TV, so glued to the news to understand a new nugget of information. I don't think it's because we are in some morbid way wanting to learn more about a very bad, tragic, horrid situation and atrocity. I think it's that we desperately want to understand what happened and in some way be able to piece it into our understanding of the world. But it doesn't happen. How could it? It doesn't happen we try to pin it somewhere. It's the media's fault, the movies, it's the video games' fault, it's the news for continuing to talk about it, it's the guns. But does anything really stick? Does anything really fit? It's universal. We all have our ideas. We all have our frustrations that we see in the world as to why things go badly. But do we really have the true answer? And that is where it is hard. It exposes our vulnerabilities. And in that, it shows our frailty. Our frailty. And really the randomness of life. The randomness of our experience. And the fact that no matter how hard we try to construct meaning, that sometimes during times like this and what happened at Newtown, it challenges it and really rips it all away. And that is so very, very uncomfortable for us. But we all feel like that. All of us are suffering when we hear about this because we're human beings and we feel. There is no right or wrong way to move through something like this, even though we are so removed from it, most of us, as we watch on the media and wonder in horror how these families will move forward. We sit there, and of all the things that could happen to our children, something like this is about the worst thing that one could imagine, if anyone could imagine it to start. And we think, my goodness, there's absolutely no way that I would make it as a human being if this happened to my child. But then we see Mr. Robbie Parker, the father of the slain 6-year-old child, Emily Parker, his daughter. I urge you to watch the video of Mr. Parker giving his statement to the press. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the epitome, the crystallization, the testament of our potential, of our strength. This man's courage to get up in front of a public audience and not only have the courage to do that and talk about his daughter who was just murdered, but to do so in a way that shows compassion, care and concern for the others that have struggled through this, including the family of the gunman, This individual, Mr. Parker, transcended his own rage, anger, frustration, futility, and gave us a message of civility, of dignity, of hope, and of pure strength, no matter how weak he feels and devastated he is. This is who we are as well. And the good wins out here. I want you to watch that video, that news piece. And I want you to see the strength, because all of us, as the events unfolded, thought, there's just no way. I don't know that I could make it. But Mr. Parker, Robbie Parker, shows us that we can, It shows us the potential and the strength and the resilience, even in the absolute worst moments of our existence, we can find a way. This is who we are in terms of our strength. And I almost feel guilty linking that in some way to the healthy mind, but it is an important moment there to show that we are so incredibly strong. We really are. Our heart breaks for those families, for those children. Our heart aches and longs for having some peace and contentment and hope that what we try to construct, at least for our children, keeps them safe. And we do an amazing job. And the one thing that we can't do right now is to be too emotional and live in fear. The reality is, and I'm not minimizing the intensity of the atrocity, schools are still the safest place for our children to be. Despite how terrible this was, we have to be careful because our mind works in beautiful and confounding ways. And when there is an enormity of a tragedy of this type that happens, our emotions lead before our logic. And as parents, we have to be able to pull back for a moment. It's never comfortable, and it wasn't comfortable taking my son to school on Monday. But I had to fight it because I knew that although this mass shooting was so terrible, mercifully, this is rare, so incredibly rare. Despite the news making it so prominent, mercifully, shootings like this are rare if we look at it in the whole. That doesn't mean that we don't have to have a very large debate about how we protect our kids, how we protect ourselves. How do we make sure that things like this don't happen again? It's such a complex issue with so many moving parts that I don't think that there is one singular answer that can make this better. But we have to look at what's going on here. Clearly, this gunman was totally isolated, and I think he knew, or maybe planned, that he was not coming out alive. So really, in that way, he was going there to end his life. And it is so impossible, whether it is a suicide bomber, or a suicidal patient, or this individual, understanding what goes into the mind of an individual there in that particular moment. It's just so hard. And I think we may someday be able to understand that and be able to predict it in some way. But the bigger issue is, how do we protect our children from getting to that point, to where their lives are filled with a potentially devastating combination of depression and anger and rage and alienation? These kids are becoming so detached, and they feel so removed and not heard, not respected, not validated, as if they don't exist. And for all of us, we need to know that we matter. We need to know that literally the reason that we are here matters in some way to someone or to some cause or to some purpose. And I've seen it. I see when people lose that sense of meaning and purpose and how it devastates their lives. We have to do a better job in protecting our kids from ever getting to that point where they're 20 years old and see that this is an option. Let me be very clear here. I am not trying to explain away the actions of this gunman. What he did was tragic and horrid. But it tells us about our society, and I don't want to say this in a way that sounds preachy because I don't have all the answers. Heck, I don't know if I have any of the answers. But we can do a better job, whether we're teachers, whether we're parents, whether we're friends, that if someone seems to be struggling, to not be scared or worried or embarrassed, to say, what's going on? If you're struggling, talk to me. I want to know. I want to know because you matter to me. Not that that's going to solve everything, and I'm not trying to be idealistic here or naive, but part of why things break down in this way is because people feel that they have no options. They feel that they have no options and feel that it just doesn't matter anymore. And we all can do our part to make sure that people know that we care for them or that they matter or that they exist. They exist and they're worthy of being heard. Don't ever underestimate the power of a smile. Something that you would take as insignificant can matter so much to a person who is hurting so much. In our small way, we can do that part. There are so many circumstances surrounding this, and some of which feel like they would be right. The media, the news, the culture, video games. But how do we know that that truly is it? How do we know truly that this is what led an individual to commit this atrocity? But there's something to consider here, and I want you to think about this, is the concept of social proof. And I don't know what the answer is, but in social proof, the theory is, and it's a behavioral theory, that when we are unsure of what to do, when we are stressed, we're going to look around and we're going to see what other people are doing, and we model our behavior based on what they're doing. It's all unconscious. We don't even realize that we're doing it. And a very common example that I give, and I have given on the podcast before, is a busy metropolitan city and someone is hurt on a sidewalk and no one stops. You know, it isn't because we're cold and callous, but it's this principle of social proof that is going on here. We're looking around, we don't even realize it, and if no one stops, well, then that's what's acceptable behavior, and we don't do anything. In fact, those who have written about this have said, in any circumstance, if you're hurt and on the street like that, reach out, find someone, and point to them and say, come and help me. Why? Because that change in behavior then changes the dynamic of the individuals walking by. And you've seen that happen before. The moment someone goes to help someone, everybody goes and helps. It changes everything in an instant, just like that. Now, why do I even talk about this today? Well, think about this. A sequence of events first started off by an NFL football player who had ended up murdering his girlfriend, then ending his life, followed shortly thereafter by a Dallas Cowboy player who flipped a car and killed his friend in an accident, followed by a shooting at a mall, and then this atrocity in Newtown, Connecticut. Now, this has been studied before, and obviously the news reports on that. We have to be very, very careful of copycat type of crimes, copycat type of killings. But this is why individuals who are right on the edge, for whatever that means, of do I do something very bad like this or not, when they see something like that on the news or when it is highly publicized, well, it's like that person who stops and helps the other person. Everyone else tries to go and help out. The behavior becomes clear. And in a very bizarre way, there's a validation there that this is a behavior that can be done. Somebody's done it. They've murdered so many people in a mass shooting. I think I can do it now. I know it's bizarre, and I know that it sounds illogical, but this is partially what is happening here. I'm convinced of it. What does this mean? Well, we really do have to be careful on how we publicize and elevate these stories. Not that they're not important to talk about. They're terribly important to talk about. And not to diminish the relevance of this story, especially to the parents and the grieving families. But there are unintended consequences here as well, and they're rooted in deep psychology. Experts will say that you can't predict this in people, no matter how well you can profile, because, well, think about it. It could come down to someone hearing or seeing some type of behavior, like a murder or a suicide, and that's enough for them then to go and do it. How do you ever predict for that? But it's real. It's so complicated, and no matter what you feel, no matter what I feel, no matter what anybody feels about what the right answer is, take a breath. Take a breath. But there is no one simple solution to understanding all of this, to gaining meaning in all of this, and most certainly not one simple thing to preventing something like this from happening again. But in that, we also have to take a step back. with all respect to those that have been lost, and realize that as terrible and as tragic as this is, if we look at it with a calm head, things like this don't happen very often. I know it feels like it's happening a lot more, but in the amount of people that are injured in this way or killed in this way compared to the population at large, fortunately, mercifully, this is rare, and we need to keep that perspective, especially when we think about the safety of our kids, when we're taking them to school, or we torment ourselves or worry terribly about, are our kids going to be safe? The reality is they are safe. They are safe. It doesn't mean that we can't or should not do everything we can to make it better and that much more safe for our children, but not that we have to sit and angst and suffer and tear ourselves apart worrying about our kids being safe. We need to realize that the chances of this happening to us is incredibly rare. It's tragic when it does, but we do need to keep that perspective for our own emotional health. And really, in concluding today, I think it's important as we talk about our own emotional health is to realize that it taps into the essence of who we are as human beings. And this is why it frightens us and it saddens us so much, this particular atrocity involving innocent young children. The core of our existence, our meaning, our purpose, why we are here, all of that gets challenged. Those nets or that meaning that we put in our life to make sure that we feel safe and protected, times like this, it peels it away. And we see some of the randomness that we can't predict for or protect ourselves totally for. And that is an uncomfortable place to be for all of us. Not because we're not strong or can't handle it, but because we're human. And in that, we need to be able to realize when spending too much time watching this or thinking about it can hurt us. And we have to make sure that we put limits and boundaries in. Some helpful things that we can do is really talk about this. Talk about it with each other. There's nothing wrong with that. Talk about the vulnerability and the worry that we have and how we're frightened and scared. It's not being weak. You'll be surprised how much support you get and how much other people are thinking about it. You've got to strive for balance, too. Make sure that you're doing those healthy things for yourself. Time with family, exercising, turning off the TV, and taking a break. It's important. Really listen to yourself. That's another thing that has to be done. Listen to yourself. If you're hurting, if you're sad, if you're anxious, you know you need to pull yourself away from that. It happens a lot, and I see it, and I've talked about this quite a bit over the last few days, in that know when to say when about the news. It'll always be there. You control it, though, and take control in that way if you feel that you are hurting too much. Involve yourself in productive things. Help others in doing something productive too. And engage with your friends and your family. Remember that there are those that love you and are around you. And even though this is tragic and it's hard for all of us, we have to reclaim life again. And really, again, I keep saying it, but I have to urge you to watch Mr. Robbie Parker talk. And this is the essence of who we are, our strength, our potential, our unbelievable capability and capacity within ourselves. This man just lost a daughter in the most horrendous way I could possibly imagine. And he had the dignity and the courage and the strength to set an example for us who did not lose anyone. Simply stunning. Simply stunning. It is the essence of human strength and potential. That is what we learn from that. in our own little way that we can take and remind ourselves that we are that strong. We really are, despite our doubts, despite our failings, despite everything that works against us at times, you are that strong. You are that strong, ladies and gentlemen. Never, ever doubt how truly powerful you are. I wish all of you the very best this holiday season, and my hopes for a very happy, healthy, and hopefully a peaceful new year 2013. Thank you all so much for taking time out of your day to listen to the podcast. I thank you all for indulging me this week. It just didn't feel right to do the podcast as I normally do it, given the tragedy that had happened. I hope you can understand, and I hope that you found this worthwhile. I know it was worthwhile for me to say these things. I thank all of you for taking time out of your day to listen to the program, to listen to the program as you have throughout the year. And I look forward to returning back to the regular format next week here on The Healthy Mind. And for the Healthy Mind podcast, part of the Healthy Mind Network, I'm your host, Dr. Peter Zafiridis. Have a peaceful week. Make it a good week. And I'll see you next time right here on The Healthy Mind.